I'm a little loud, let me know. Not used to this. Hope everybody's had a good week. Thank the Lord for the cold weather. I love cold weather. Amen. Yeah. You can put more clothes on. I want to first say I'm very thankful for this church body. I'm thankful for all the areas of ministry where everybody serves, the things that people do that doesn't get seen, that honors and glorifies the Lord. I'm thankful for our pastors, the amount of study and the time they put in, the people that just do countless hours of studying to feed the body and to glorify God. I'm very thankful for them. It's a lot every week. Jake kind of nudged me to preach here a few weeks ago, and he threw my name in there real quick, and I don't like to stand up. This isn't about me. This is about the Lord and glorifying Him, and I'm not a good speaker. And I don't want anybody to brag or say anything that I did. This is all about Jesus. So I'll chase some rabbits here and there, because when God started working me with giving me this, I mean, it's like a fire hose, and it was just all over. Once you dig into the Word of God, I mean, there's just so many places you can go, and Scripture interprets Scripture, and it'll overwhelm you to a point. You just got to stop and say, try to keep me on path, Lord, because it just feeds you and feeds you and feeds you, and it's for more studies. It's to deepen your studies out past a Sunday throughout the week. So bear with me as I get through this and kind of get settled in a little bit and ask for the Holy Spirit to take over this. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10 and 11. So I'm going to pray before we get started. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. Thank you most of all for your mercy. Man, you're so good and merciful to our lives. We don't even see that you're just casting out mercy on us in grace. I love this body, and thank you for everybody here. I ask that your name be lifted up and glorified. I just ask you to rise up men and leaders in this church, and women and people in their homes, just solidify this church, God, to give you glory and to carry out your work and your business. I love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was looking at this message, and this is something I studied a long time ago and kind of dove into it. And, whenever God asked me, when Jake kind of nudged me and the Lord said, you're going to have to rise up and go. You're going to have to do something. Quit sitting on your hands. Usually, if I preach somewhere, it's like the night before that God gives me something. You're just like begging for something. You can ask any pastor in here, anybody that preaches. You're like, Lord, where are you going to have me preach from? You know, where? It's up to the last minute. And you're begging for His word and something to give to the people. But it was immediate. And this isn't a message directed at anybody in the church or anywhere. It's 90% for me, and hopefully 10% for you guys. So we look at some of the things that we're battling personally right now, and what the church is battling. It's easy to ask God why. I mean, we're in a relationship with the Lord. It's like asking your father why. You know, why God? Why, or you know, why Dad? Why is this happening? Why are we going through this? And he wants that relationship where we come to and ask Him. You know, God's goal in the life of a believer is to purify our lives and make us holy through Christ. To purge us of just junk that's in our life and get rid of it. That way we can walk closer to Him, walk according to His agenda. That's what God's desire is in your life right now. The moment you were saved, the moment a born-again believer is saved, God begins to work. He begins to cultivate in your heart through His word. He starts a purification, or he starts a sanctification process. And there's some of these areas in our lives, and me personally to start with, man, there's a lot of areas that I don't want to let God in. Man, I want to say, man, you're not welcome there right now. That's an area I'm struggling. That's an area I'm hurting. And it embarrasses me. I don't want you to go there, Lord. But God's good. He doesn't stop at our weakness. He's willing to reach in every area of your life, no matter how hard it strains you. It may strain your family, relationships. He's willing to break you because He loves you. And it's a gentle breaking. That's what we're going to look at today. So in Isaiah 48:10, he says, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction for my own sake. For my own sake, I will do it. That's a promise from Him. Right. For how should my name be profaned, and I will not give my glory to another, because He's worth every bit of the glory. So we see the first thing here. I'm going to mention this a lot today, and I may repeat myself on it, but it's important. The terms God, He's referenced here, is a refiner in our lives. And refining is not a pretty process. It's a hard process. It's painful for a Christian. It's painful for anyone to go through refining. So what does a refiner do? I'm going to look at that. And I'm not talking down to anybody. This is, like I said, this is God giving me a message today. A refiner, he transforms something that's raw and unusable, that we see unusable. It's covered in impurities. And he cleanses it and he refines it into something precious. And you can illustrate that to a life of a believer and what he does. And I studied the process of refinement. It's very interesting. And if you study your Bible, you'll see refinement from the very beginning of the Bible all the way to the end into Revelation, where God speaks of this. So why is refinement necessary for a believer? It's a broad question. It's huge. You know, every person in their life, we begin from the day we're born to experience trials and struggles in our lives. What I like to call seasons. You'll hear me mention a lot called seasons. And if you're in this room, you've been through seasons. You're either in a season in your life right now, you're coming out of a season, or you're fixing to go into a season of life. So I've been through some bad seasons, and I've been on top of the mountain. I've been down the mountain. I've hiked the mountain. I've been in the valley. And I've seen all kinds of seasons in my life. I've seen them in my family. I've seen them in this church. I've seen them in people here with my brothers and sisters. And if you're in a season, you're not going through it alone, because somebody else is right there with you. Jake kind of touched on this Wednesday night. It was funny. Everything was just aligning up, you know, talking about trials, and seasons bring trials in our life. You know, James chapter 1, 2, 3, verses 2 and 3, it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I have a hard time with that. So I hope I'm not the only person in here, but when a trial first hits me, it's not like, Lord, thank you so much for that. I'm glad I'm going through this trial. I couldn't wait for this one. I mean, I struggle with these trials. I'm like, Lord, sometimes I say, not again. Why am I battling this? I just came through one. In 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7, he says, in this you greatly rejoice now, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's one of the most profound scriptures in the Bible right there. So back to these trials. So trials, they wear us down. And when you're wore down, man, the devil's going to attack you, because you're vulnerable. It's like something that's out on the prairie, that something's chasing. And they know what your most wore down point. They know when you're spiritually wore down, when you're emotionally wore down. And the devil, he's like, man, I'm fixing to tear you up, because I can catch you right now. I've got you in a place where you're mentally beat, you're spiritually beat, and I'm going to attack you with everything I got. I'm going to attack your family. You know, as God matures your faith and you grow, that is the only time that we can count it all joy. It's through an abundance of God's grace and goodness when our faith grows. Whenever he takes us in that solid relationship, when he draws closest to us. Because we think, in that trial, we think God's so far from us, and he's not. He's right here. He's right beside you. He's picking you up. In the middle of all this, we're going through a process God calls refinement. Refinement does so much for our lives aside from what we see that it does, what we think that it's doing in our life. You know, in it, God gives a man a greater knowledge of himself. He gives him his truth, the depth of his truth. He gives him a greater understanding of God's will, allowing us to have a truer and more pure love for God and see who God really is. God desires to show you his mercy through a trial and grace through hard times. And knowing that if it's a trial we've self-inflicted or put ourselves in, God's grace is gentle. His nature is compassion. It's love for us. I want you to write this down somewhere in your Bible. It's a little simple. It's something simple, but this was important to me as God gave me this week. God does not do meaningless work. God's word does not return void, and his work is not meaningless no matter what is going on. You may experience it today. It may not be for you until 10 years down the road. It may be 15, 20 years down the road. That work is not meaningless that he's cultivating in your life and producing in your life right now. Refinement removes some ugly layers, if we're honest with ourselves today and here on this. Man, it takes off layers of protection that we've stacked on that we don't even know we're stacking on. All right? And that can be, I'm going to name some of mine here. Pride, self-sufficiency, impatience, selfishness. You know, faith and godly characters, you know, it can be obscured by those layers. And when God reveals them to us, we're like, I want to put that back. I want to put that back. I don't want to deal with that right now. You ever say that, man? I just can't deal with that right now. I don't want to deal with that in life. I got too much going on. God says, no, it's time to deal with it today. We're going to deal with it today. He draws those trials to the forefront of our lives. You know, I look back, and you look back at stones that God set in your life, and they're important to have. And some trials, you know, trials that we go through are stones for us to look back and reflect on, and look at God's goodness and His love. I tend to sometimes focus just on those big things that's happened in my life. Major events, health issues, loss of a loved one, maybe losing a job, traumatic events that we go through. But every day, we're going through some little trials every single day, whether you know it or not. That's from driving around the loop in Palestine. That's a trial. it's dealing with difficult people that God puts in your life. If you're in any type of a public setting, if you're dealing with people any day, you deal with difficult people probably every single day. From the telemarketer that calls you or the guy saying your automobile insurance is expiring. All of this, though, is spiritual sandpaper in the hands of God. He's using every bit of this, just a little bit, to rub, just to get rid of some junk off of you. I want you to jot these things down, a few things down if you get a pen. Trials make me dependent on God. Trials show others around me that God is dependable. And this is the power of your testimony. This is the power of your witness right here. Trials sanctify me. Trials puts God's power on display. And trials show us and others that God is infinitely valuable. We know it comes with some pain, but if we focus and we look at these things in our life, that encountering this joy, it brings mental pain, it brings physical pain, it brings spiritual pain. You know, I ask God frequently in my life, I ask Him, and I'm sure you have before, Lord, reveal my heart to me when I'm going through a trial. Clarify this to me. Please expose my heart in this. Did I make the right decision here? If I made the wrong decision, help me understand forgiveness to go back and humble me to go back where I've wronged. Reveal my true motive. Psalms 139, 23, and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, because there's some wicked junk that comes out of me. And lead me in the way of the everlasting." You know, I believe that if you ask God for that, He's going to do it. And what this does to me, and what God showed me in this, and when you ask God that, not just that specific prayer or scripture, but when you come to the Lord before it, sanctification is fixing to be rapidly stimulated in your life, because He's fixing to take action in it. Some of you know what I'm talking about here. And there's times that I've done that, and I'm like, Lord, I take that one back. Give me that one back. I'm not ready for that. I shouldn't have asked you that. It's like asking for patience. You know what happens if you ask God for patience? You fix and get an opportunity, I promise you. Yeah. That's the truth. As I mentioned before, I'm going to get back on track here. As I mentioned, the refiner specializes in taking a raw piece of ore that comes from the earth. It may contain, as you know, the Bible talks about, there's gold, there's silver, there's copper, bronze, rubies, gems. And there's a process, and a lot of you guys probably know this, but there's a really cool metallurgy process that goes on here. And there's several steps to it. I'm going to share that with you today. The first step is the breaking of the ore, that raw ore. There has to be a breaking process in there. That hardened rock is encased with raw common materials, and it's got to be broken. We don't like to be broke a lot of times. I sure don't. I like to try to stand tall and walk tall, But man, there's times that God, he says, man, you're just a speck of sand. The breaking's necessary to expose the highly valuable metal to the heat. And God communicates his perfect plan to us. We're a rough rock prior to the Lord beginning to work in our lives, prior to salvation. It's junk. That's what I was prior to salvation. We're a rock in need of a refining fire. And that's communicated through the Word of God, the gospel of Christ. Jeremiah 23:29 says, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rocks into pieces. The second step in it is the crucible. So you have a refiner sitting there, and he puts the broken or the crushed ore into a device. It's a capsule. It's called a crucible. It's a fireproof melting pot, and it's designed to withstand extreme heat. The crucible is placed in the furnace at a precise temperature necessary for removing all the contaminants that mars whatever's going into that crucible. Just as the furnace is used to purify the contents of the crucible, God uses heat and trials in our lives to purify and cleanse us. Proverbs 17:3 says, the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. The next process is the ugly one. It's called the dross. So the refiner, he places the crucible into the furnace. And that furnace isn't a little stovetop burning. This furnace is roaring. It's hot. As the ore melts in the crucible, under the watchful eye of the refiner, a layer of impurities called dross comes off the ore inside of the crucible. And dross, for us, it's all the junk in our life that God needs to get out of our life. Proverbs 25:4 says, remove the dross from the silver and a silversmith can produce a vessel. Step four is the heat. The refiner, he raises the temperature again. It goes back in. And it's up to the refiner. God does the work. We're not doing anything, guys. I'm not doing anything. He does every bit of the work, from your salvation to everything he does every single day. God is over everything. As the refiner skims off the dross, the impurities, he then turns up the heat and places the crucible back into the hot, blistering furnace up to 7 times, which we know in 7 in the Bible represents perfection and completion by the Lord. The impurities rise to the surface once again. And here's the awesome thing about your life. If you think God doesn't know what you're going through or what you're battling, nobody else may know what you're going through or battling. It may be something between just you and the Lord. But God knows what impurities are released at certain temps, and so does this refiner. Only certain impurities release at certain temperature stages, and he knows that. You know, when you're in this spot in life sometimes, man, it seems like this process, when we're going through this, it seems like God can be silent sometimes. You may be in a place of silence right now with the Lord. I don't know. I know there's times that I go through and I'm like, Lord, where are you? He's quiet. This is a testing phase. You remember back in elementary or school or college, wherever, and your instructor gives you a test. What is that instructor doing during that test? They're usually sitting there. They're watching, and they're silent. The teacher or the instructor is silent. And there's times that God's quiet in our life. He's quiet. He's watching. He's waiting. He's waiting on a certain situation or a certain instance where he comes in and intervenes. But he never takes his eye. The refiner never, ever takes his eye off the crucible, because in seconds, that piece of ore or that valuable metal in there, it can be destroyed within a few seconds. And it's gone. And that's not God's desire for our life. It's not to destroy anybody in this room. His desire is to have fellowship with you, for you to be saved, you to walk with Jesus, for you to be in heaven with him one day. Psalms 112:6 says, and the words to the Lord are flawless. The words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in the crucible, like gold refined 7 times. Step 5 is the purification. Each time with the precise skill and patience, The refiner removes the dross, leaving behind gleaming gold and shimmering silver, more precious than it was before. In order to gauge his process, the refiner looks to his own image in the reflection on the surface of the silver or the gold-filled crucible. The more dross is removed off of this, the more he can see his reflection. Stage six is the reflection. This is when the refiner sees a clear image of himself. It's only when the refiner looks into the crucible and sees a clear reflection of himself that he knows the process is complete. The silver attains the highest purity. The gold is at the level of carat that is desired. And this is God's, it's his ultimate desire for each one of us. When I look at my life, is my life giving a reflection of Jesus? Does your life give a reflection of Christ? That's between you and God. We can get clouded sometimes so easy in life because, life just gets busy. It gets crazy. My agenda gets so messed up from where God wants me to be and what he wants me to do. But ultimately, we're here. We're here to glorify God. We're here to elevate his name, elevate Jesus Christ, and to give him every bit of the glory, every bit of it. I was looking at this, and I was looking at the different metals and the different, I was looking at gold specifically, and gold's mentioned so much throughout the Bible. You know, I was like, not in an arrogant way, but, gold is measured, 24 karat is the highest level of gold that you can get. It's like 99.9% pure gold. All the other alloys are stripped out of it and gone. But I want to be 24 karat gold from God. I want to reflect, I want to give that ultimate reflection back to him. And I desire that from him. It produces the most reflectability. It's the most pliable. And it's the most conductive to be able to conduct back and forth between you and the Lord. It's very conductive. If you work with electrical stuff, gold is excellent conductor. The most reflective, the closest, the most intimate with God. To know him like never before. Besides just a Sunday and, listen to a radio song here or there during the week. I firmly believe that we as a church, we see the purpose of the crucible. And I think we're in a crucible right now, guys. But we can unite and we can be a vessel for his honor. It starts right here for me. I'm going to tell you, it starts with me. You guys deal with your side of it, but it's right here with me. This is where it starts. Removing impurities from the heart. And everybody in this room, every person in this room is critical to the body of Christ. I was looking back on, once you start studying, you look back, there's so much that involves the tabernacle. When you look back into Exodus in the Old Testament, and everything in the Old Testament is the foreshadowing of Christ coming in the New Testament. And this is kind of just to throw in there. When God gave Moses the instructions and, he called the artisans to build the tabernacle, most of the key connecting points, if you look back through that, I think it's in Exodus 36 through 38, most of the key components that he erected the tabernacle with, they were called sockets. And this held different pieces all throughout the tabernacle. There were sockets of gold or silver or bronze. And it's really amazing the amount of gold, silver, and bronze that was used to erect the tabernacle and build the tabernacle. And God called on each one of them, each one of the Israelites to give a portion towards, so they had an interest, they had a relationship in the tabernacle. But you got to think about those sockets and those pieces. They had to be refined. They had to be fashioned in order that they could be made into the key pieces of the tabernacle. We as the new tabernacle and Jesus Christ residing in us, God's church, I believe we're that. Each one of us, each born again believer in this church, is a socket. You all hold a point. You all hold a piece that bridges together this tabernacle, God's church. Not this building, but God's church, God's people. We don't all come here knowing how to fit and just exactly where we fit in, and God may change where he's used us before. He may mold our life and do something different in that. But he'll refine us and shape this church as we need. And we may be going through that refining process to where he moves some things around. He has a different plan for you. He calls you to step up and do different things in this church. to allow us to grow spiritually and get back on track and be focused on Jesus Christ and seeing people saved. 2 Timothy 2:20 through 21 says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." And I looked at that scripture, man, it just jumped off the page to me. And I God asked me, he said, "What kind of vessel are you? What kind of a vessel are you?" And that's a question for you guys as well as me. I believe everyone in this room desires, "I want to be a vessel of honor, Lord." But sometimes we got to spend a little time in the crucible. There's some dross in my life that God wants to remove. At the beginning of that scripture, it says, "In a great house." I'm going to tell you what, God's church is a great house. This congregation, this body of believers, is a great house. It's a great house because who it belongs to? It belongs to God. It belongs to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. It's a great house because it took a great cost to build it. This is a mansion far more valuable than any real estate here on this earth. It's built by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I believe this body is a great house because of Jesus Christ and the love for him. Is God calling you to do some repair to your vessel today? I believe he's doing some repairs in this vessel here. He desires to come in, restore, repair. Maybe it's just he just desires to spend some time with you. Just one-on-one time with you through his word. And there may be people here, I don't know. There's a lot of new people here. There may be people in here with a whole nother calling in your life. The Holy Spirit is calling in your life right now. He may be beating down the door. You may have shut that door multiple times. Have you responded to that call? Are you responding? You may be on the run from God. I've ran from God before, I tell you. You wear down quickly. The dross and the sin weighs you down. And Jesus Christ is willing to intervene in your struggle right now. You may be warring against God. Lord, you could never clean up a guy like me or a lady like me. You could never clean me up. Lord says, I've taken the worst of the worst. You're not too filthy for the Lord. I promise you, if you are trying to carry that cross, it's not yours to carry. It's been carried to Calvary already. Christ carried it for you. And he died on that cross by laying his life down. He laid it down for each and every person in this room. Every soul outside these doors, every soul that's ever lived. He's forgiven every sin you've ever done. That's unimaginable in our minds, but we're not God. We don't have that power. It is the power of God. Every past, present, and future sin, you have been forgiven of them. You are cleansed. He was buried in the grave, and God rose him from that grave on the third day by his power. And he will take your dead spiritual body, and he will raise your body to life because he loves you. It'll place a new heart in you. It'll set a new agenda, a new goal in your life. And most of all, you have an eternal hope. Because outside of that, we can do all we want to try to do in this life. And there is zero hope. And you will stand before an almighty God one day. And the Bible says he is a consuming fire. And I can't stand before a holy God that's a consuming fire. Because if I stand on my own merit, if I stand on my own life, I'm going to be cast into the pit of hell. That's right. The only way I stand, the only way you stand, is by Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's a free gift of salvation. And to turn that away, it's a battle. It's a battle surrendering and submitting yourself. But when you do, When you come to that submission point and God takes that raw, filthy ore that we are prior to salvation and he breaks, that breaking is one of the best feelings in your life. Will you stand with me? Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this body, Lord. I just I want to lift you up and magnify you today. You're worthy of all praise. You're worthy of even more that our mouths can't even expel or say, God. I pray this week, Lord, that you produce a mighty, mighty movement in each person in this room's life. I pray that they see you, that they walk with you, that they desire you. And I pray there's any lost soul in this building right now, God, that they're willing to submit and surrender because your grace is good, your grace is sufficient, and you have nothing but love for us. I pray for unity in this body, God. I pray for you to reside here with us, Lord. I pray for the Spirit to be among us. I love you. Thank you for your word, and thank you for Jesus, Lord, who came to dwell among us, to tabernacle among us in this life. In Jesus' name, amen.